Snatch back your brain, zombie. Snatch it back and hold it.
Hey, Chris and Fresh, y'all, and welcome to episode 81 of Twat Radio. I am your host, Low Tech Mystic, and today we're going to discuss Audacity, the very basics of how to use the program, how to record and make your own audio files. You see, although I've been doing podcasting and recording audio for a while, I myself am rather new to Audacity. I have used Audacity in the past 3 episodes that I've done of Ninja Night School. So I figured since I myself, although not new to audio editing in general, I'm new to this program, hopefully I can walk you through what I've learned already for those of you out there who may not know anything about Audacity but may be interested in making a recording. Twat Radio. here we go. So, basically, what is Audacity and why would we want to use it? Well, Audacity is a program in which we can record audio, we can edit, and do basically all the stuff we really need to do for possibly even borderline professional audio. So, and one of the fantastic things about Audacity is that it is an open source program. It is free. There is no cost for Audacity. And it is cross-platform. You can run Audacity on a Linux box, on a Windows box, or a Mac OS X box. So there's no excuse not to be able to record some audio. So like I said, we're going to go through the very basics on this program, and we're going to learn how to record with Audacity. So first thing first, we're going to need to obtain a copy of Audacity for ourselves. The easiest way to go about doing this is going to the Audacity homepage, which is audacity.sourceforge.net. Don't worry, if you go to twattech.org in the show notes for this episode, number 81, we'll have links to all these in the show notes. So don't worry if you miss anything, if you're driving and not near around, don't worry. It'll be up there for you. Audacity is spelled A-U-D-A-C-I-T-Y, like Audacity. We built this city
on rock and roll.
Hell yeah. So we can go to audacity.sourceforge.net. There we can download the program for Linux, Windows, or Mac OS X. And then also, Audacity has a form for support, frequently asked questions, and everything pertaining to Audacity. So, this can be located at audacityteam.org/form. Don't be shy. As a matter of fact, I highly recommend you go there and check it out. There's a wide range of questions from very basic to quite rather advanced. So, don't be shy. You know, if you're interested, this is the place you need to go check stuff out.
Okay, boss! Audacity downloaded and installed!
Great work, Kichi Guy. Now that we have Audacity downloaded and installed on our box, the next step is audio. Precious, precious audio. Now we need ways in which to capture and record this precious, precious audio. How do we go about doing this? Well, the first and most obvious step, since we have a computer and we're using Audacity, we can use a microphone and record with Audacity on the computer. Fantastic. Oh, You don't have a microphone. Maybe you've got a set of headphones. Not earbuds, but headphones. If you got a set of headphones, you can talk into the left side of the headphone. You may have to talk a little bit loudly, but either way, this will work. And you can record into your PC. Maybe you want to go a little more alternative. Be a little bit creative. I myself use a pocket PC. This whole broadcast is being recorded on a Toshiba E330 pocket PC. Once I record all the audio, I transfer it through the SD memory to the laptop, and then edit and send it out to the podcast universe. Fantastic! There are also many other methods. You could be totally creative. There's got to be a million and one ways in which to record audio, such as using a tape recorder, digital voice capture. There are a lot of devices that have some kind of memo capability. A lot of these may be able to hook up to a computer, or if nothing else, if it has a headphone jack, you can use a double male-ended headphone cord. You can stick one in of the headphone jack into the digital voice recorder, the tape recorder, and then the other end into the microphone end of the computer. Boom, there you go. Yeah, you've got to transfer it all real time, but it's a way to do it. So it's also, you've got an option way where you don't have to be tied down in front of the computer in order to do your audio. My problem? Well, it's not necessarily a problem, but I've got roommates, so I can't necessarily be talking and screaming and doing an audio recording in the middle of the night, which for me is the best time to be doing my audio. So I need to go outside of the house, and I need to go somewhere else. So for me, it's more convenient not to use a microphone and sit in front of a computer to record. So remember, there are plenty of options. Be creative. Don't be afraid. Have fun. Alright, so after we've got Audacity downloaded and installed, and we've got some audio that we're going to work with, or we're going to use Audacity itself to record, so let's go ahead and open up Audacity. Audacity! Now, the first thing you may notice once Audacity loads is the familiar play, record, pause, stop, all those buttons. Ah, nice and familiar. Whew, this program isn't so strange after all. Yes! Directly to the left of these buttons are six icons set in two rows of three. Our main concern for this basic introduction to Audacity is just the two very left icons in each row. The very top one, which is selected by default, is the selection tool. The one directly beneath that one, which looks like a magnifying glass, is obviously the zoom tool. For right now, and basically, those are the only two I use right now. Like I said, I'm very new to this program, so it's very diverse program. So you don't have to use all of its features to be able to put out something. So we're just going to keep it simple right now, and we're going to go into the very basics. And underneath all these icons, on the left-hand side, we have the play output volume, and on the right-hand side, the input or the recording volume, which you can adjust accordingly to suit your needs. And next to the volume control is a box to select our input method. So whether you want to use, if you're using Audacity to record, of course, then you're going to select whether you want to record through the line in jack, the microphone in. Whether you have, like if you've got a laptop, you may have a microphone built in, so you can select just the microphone option. It's right there in front, keeps it easy. Above that, on the right hand side at the top of Audacity, we have two volume bars. The left handed volume bar is the play volume, and the right handed volume bar is for the input volume. So as you're listening to your audio or recording your audio, if you're using Audacity, you can watch the sound levels as they go. Now, if your sound levels are just full steady all the way over to the right, stuff's too loud. You need to bring it down some levels, you know? So, and we'll discuss that in a minute. But the first thing we need to do is we need to import some audio into Audacity. Now, we may be using Audacity to record our voice, but in theory, we may want to throw in some sound effects, perhaps intro, outro music, background sound effects, or maybe even merge clips together. So, in order to do this, we're going to need to import audio.
Oh no, boss! How do we import the audio?
I'm glad you asked, Geechee Guy. Importing audio, although it took me, honestly, a little bit longer to figure out than I'd care to admit, is rather simple. To import audio, what we want to go up to is we want to go up to the top of the tabs there and select the project tab, which will bring a drop down menu, and then we'll select import audio. Or we can just as easily press Control and I. This is the same function. And this will open up a box in order to select the location of the files in which we wish to import. Select the location of your file, and boom! You'll then have the audio imported into Audacity. It is visualized in a blue spectrograph, so you can see the levels of your audio. So if you're talking real soft, or if you're screaming, the audio levels will be different. So if you're talking real soft, like this, the levels will be real small. But if you talk real loud, like Geechee Guy! Thank you, Geechee Guy. Then the levels will be all maxed out. And if your levels are all maxed out, just your whole bar when you import it is just total solid blue, you may want to go back and re-record some stuff at a lower volume level, or maybe adjust it inside Audacity. It may be workable with, but it all depends. Audio is very flexible. You will be very surprised once you start working with it what you can get away with. But once you've imported your audio, you've got all this blue wonderful visual representation of your audio, but on the left hand side of all this audio, you've got a little box.
Oh, I don't like it! What's this box for, boss?
No, calm down, Geechee Guy. You'll like this box after all. For inside this box, at the top of the box, in the nice little bar, we have the name of our audio track. This helps us keep all of our different audio files once we import them. Assuming if you're at all like me and import an insane amount of audio files and sound effects into your show, this will help you keep it all nice and organized. You'll have the name of said audio track at the top there in that nice little box. Underneath it, you'll have the file information, such as whether it's mono or stereo, the frequency at which it was recorded, and the bit rate. Underneath this information, you have two boxes. One box is labeled mute, and the other box is labeled solo. Obviously, if you click on mute, it will mute this channel. So if you have several audio lines going at the same time, and you just want to hear what one sounds like, you're trying to adjust the level, or maybe you just want to take out the background music and just hear what the voices sound like, you can click mute, and it will mute just that one track. But say, on the other hand, if you want to mute all the other tracks and just hear one track, you can click on solo, and this will do this. It'll save you from having to go and click mute on 80 billion tracks which you've just imported. Underneath the mute and solo buttons, we have two little slide bars. One is with a plus and minus, and the one below it is with an L and an R respectively. So the one on top with the plus and minus affects the volume of that said track. So say, for example, you recorded audio and your intended background music was recorded at the same audio level. Well, if you play these together at the same time, it all comes out jumbled. It's hard to necessarily understand the voice because of the music, and the music is jumbled because of the voice, all at the same level. Clearly, you're going to have to do some adjusting. The easiest way in this situation is just to adjust that slide bar. each tick of that little slide bar
move either to the minus or to the plus sign in these directions changes the volume in 3 decibel increments. So for most cases, this is rather convenient. If we need to alter the volume in a more sensitive manner, we'll cover this in just a little bit.
Now the slider bar at the very bottom underneath the volume bar, which has an L on one side and the R on the other side, this is the channel control. And by moving the slider bar in one direction or the other, you can make the sound come out, obviously the either left channel or the right channel. I have a lot of fun with this, and this is fun stuff. So you could, for example, if you had 2 separate people recording an audio show, say I had a co-host on the show with me, and for example, I wanted to make co-host A come out of the left headphone side, and then co-host B come out of the right headphone side, I could do it. And it would sound like this.
This would be co-host number 1 speaking directly from the left channel.
Yep, and this is co-host number 2 speaking directly from the right channel.
And here we are back again in the center channel. This is fun. It works really good for sound effects. If you're wanting to create the illusion of depth or location in your audio, it's a real good way. So you can imply movement by having the sound gradually move, say footsteps or explosions from one channel, one side to the other side, or maybe meeting in the center. There's a lot of ways to imply movement. Our ears hear the sound and the brain naturally will create the pieces for us. So by working with the channels a little bit, sometimes we can take a simple bit of audio and with a little bit of illusion and help from the brain, we can make something kind of simple sound pretty neat. So this is a neat little trick that I'm fond of using. Also, I would like to note a small caveat to the channel usage is I don't like to use it a whole lot. As to say, I wouldn't do a whole show constantly bouncing back and forth between channels. Just for the simple fact that just by chance, if somebody's listening in their car and say maybe the right speakers don't work, or if somebody maybe has hearing problems in one ear or the other, or there's a lot of situations where mixing audio in one channel or the other can kind of come back to bite you in the butt. So take these things into consideration as well when you're playing around with the channel. But most importantly, have fun. Okay, so now that we've got all of our audio imported, and I would also like, side note right now, to mention when I import my audio, I like to import my audio in the order in which I intend to use it. So for example, the first thing that I import into Audacity is the opening music that I want to use for the show. And then from the opening music, I would go into, say, the audio of the program, and I would import that. And then if I had any sound effects or music that I was going to use during the audio of the show, I would import that. And then lastly, I would import the closing music. But once I have all my files imported, they're all starting at the 0 time mark. This is no good. Our masterpiece is ruined. It's all jumbled, everything starting at the same time. Music's playing over music. WTF, man. This is just all wrong. We need a way in which to combat this. We need to rearrange our masterpiece so that its glory may be understood and seen, nay, heard by the entire world. How will we do this? This is how we will do this. So, in our first track, which would be at the top, going by our theory and example, our first track is the intro music. Second track is the audio, which is the guts of the show. So what I'm going to do is I've got the audio underneath
the intro music. What I'm going to do is I'm going to move the cursor by selecting with my mouse and clicking on the audio track. And I'm going to select the position underneath the intro music where I want the audio to line up to and start. So, for example, if my intro music is 20 seconds, then I would click 20 seconds into the second track, which is the audio. And then I would go up to Project, and I would select Align Tracks. And then from Align Tracks, we have another menu that drops down, and I would select Align with Cursor. This will move the track to wherever the location which I have the cursor. So the fantastic thing about Audacity for us visual people is that all we have to do is line up to with what looks right. So say, since we have this great and wonderful visual representation of our audio, we can see where the sound levels go up and go down and go up and go down. And so as we see as the volume of our intro music is going down, in that visual representation, I can click what looks good, where the volume's going down, and I'll click with my cursor in the track beneath it, and then align the file, boom, and it all sounds pretty nice. And so I'll do the same thing for each corresponding track until eventually I've got a little stair-stepping kind of audio-looking file in Audacity overall. Okay, so we've got all our audio tracks aligned. We've got each track in the position where we want it. Everything's starting to sound good. Our audio masterpiece is beginning to take shape and form. Yes! But we're still not quite done yet. We still have a little bit tinkering, the fine polishing yet to do with our audio. So there are two other tabs in which we can use Audacity in order to help add a little fun to our program. So the first tab up there is right next to Project tab. It's the Generate tab. And if we click on Generate, it brings down a little menu where we can generate silence, tone, or white noise. So say, for example, in one of your audio tracks. Alright, once you have all of your audio tracks aligned, in reality, you could be done. You could simply ship your MP3 out to Podcast Universe and let it be heard by all those that live in the Podcast Universe. Or you could play around, which I'm sure if you're getting into the Audacity, the bug will bite you and you'll want to play around a little bit more. Ooh, I could add a little bit more effects. But how do I go about doing this? Well, if you noticed, right next to the Project tab, we have the Generate tab, in which we click on this and bring down a little menu where we have the option to generate silence, tone, white noise, a click track, and block. So how do I use these? Well, in your audio, say for example, you've got audio of a telephone conversation, or just any general conversation for that matter. Say maybe somebody says somebody's real name, or drops some docs, or just maybe something you don't want going out to the real world. You could simply just select such said portion of the audio and delete it. Or you could select such portion of the audio and then go to Generate and then Tone. And then it would sound something like this. Say your guest was talking and then you, and then you'll never know what they said, but it leaves that mystery because you never know what they said, because every time I go to tell you the honest truth, that is, and they never know. So, play around with those. But don't run them into the ground. Alright, thanks guys.
And now next to the generate tab, we have the effect tab, which may possibly be one of the most exciting tabs within the Audacity universe. That's right. The basic, once you click on the effect tab, it's going to drop down a menu, and it's a rather large menu. There's a lot of options and stuff in here for Audacity. Now we're just going to cover a couple of the options here in the generate menu, which is just the basics here, but it's the basic tools that will help you the most out of the generate menu. A lot of stuff in here is rather advanced. I honestly don't know what all it does, but nevertheless, they are fun to play around with. So the first effect we're going to cover is amplify. And this, as it would imply, you can adjust the sound level of such said audio track. So, for example, if there's a portion of your audio track where the sound level spike and everything's too loud, so you don't want to lower the volume of the entire track, but maybe just a portion. So you don't want to use the little volume bar, which is next to our track in our audio visual representation, which I was talking about earlier. You just want to adjust a portion of that audio. Well, then you would select that portion, and you go up to amplify, and then you could adjust it accordingly. But, oh no, at any point when you're editing the audio, oh no, you mucked up. You sounds too high, too low, you hit the wrong button. Ah! Remember, Audacity supports undo, which is Control Z. Up in the little toolbar at the top, it's got little arrows for going back. You can undo a million times. Undo, undo, undo. Maybe undo too many times, you can redo. Audacity's pretty forgiving like that. So remember this and take advantage of this. I do. You should too. Next, underneath the amplify in the effect menu, we've got a set of three, which I like to play around with, is to change pitch, change speed, and change tempo of such said audio. So this is nice for, say for example, making your own sound effects. You can take the sound of something, for example, that wouldn't necessarily sound like something else, like, for example, the last episode of Ninja Night School, episode 13 that I've recorded. At the beginning of that, I wanted the sound of a big, like, shield storm door opening, you know, something like big door, chikon, 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 opening, you know, and I'm trying to figure out how am I going to get that sound effect. And I'm thinking, wait, what if I record the sound of a garage door opening and then change the speed, where I slow it down a little and then lower the tempo, and I play around with these sound effects and I start to come to the sound that I'm looking for. And that in itself is an adventure and so much fun. So keep this in mind, you know, experiment. You will be totally, totally amazed with what you come out with. So if we continue to go down a little bit further in our effect menu, we'll see the echo option, which is echo, 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 echo. You know, experiment around with the change the settings. Yeah. But yeah, you can add an echo to any part of your file. Obviously, you're just selecting the desired portion of the audio clip that you want to add the echo to, and then edit in accordingly. Next, we have underneath that, we have fade in and fade out. This is great for your intro, outro music, if you're inserting background music, stuff like that. It really goes a long way to fade it in and fade it out. It's the little things like this that really help create that environment for the listener, and which is something you should somewhat be trying to do the whole time you're recording your audio show. You want to create some kind of environment, whether it's learning about Audacity or fighting with ninjas or whatever your audio happens to be about. But you want to kind of create some kind of
audio environment where the listener can be somewhat, for the time they listen to your audio clip, transported to this digital environment which you have created. For a good example of this, go back and listen to Jason Scott's Twat, episode 78. This helped put it in perspective. But obviously fade in, fade out. That's rather obvious. Also down, if we can go down some more, we have a second menu in our generate menu. We've got crossfade in, crossfade out. This works a lot like fade in, fade out, except it's not as, crossfade is more for the fading from one sound to another. Say if you were mixing audio tracks, say if you were doing background music, you would have the end of one song crossfade into the beginning of another song, which would sound smoother than fading out from one song and fading into the other song. If you experiment around with fade in and fade out and crossfade in and out with your audio file, you, by the parts that you highlight and select, by the visual representation of the audio, you will see this effect. The fade in and fade out is a straight line from silent. You say if you're fading in, it's from, you know, silent to a straight, you know, predictable line straight up to 100%, you know, in a, you know, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, straight on. Whereas the crossfade in and out looks more like an arc. It's a bent line. Experiment with this. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's clearly I'm not doing an excellent job of describing this. And lastly, as far as the basics of the effect menu go, we have delay. Delay works a lot like the echo effect, except it's delay. So you select the portion of audio in which you want echoed, and it kind of echoes just that portion of the audio. It's a neat way to get an echo effect. Basically, all these effects you're just going to have to play around with to get the real feel of how they work. But out of all the effects, these are the more simpler and, at least for me, the more obvious ones to mess around with. And they're easy to understand, but go a long way in the audio production of your file. Once again, I'd like to encourage everybody, play around with the sound effects, the generate, you know, have fun with Audacity. Sound effects are a wonderful thing to add into your audio if you're so inclined. It's not for everybody, but they may add the right touch when you're so looking for it. You're asking, well, how the hell do I get some sound effects into my shit? Well, there's tons of places to go out and get sound effects. Whether you do a web search for any kind of sound effect that you're looking for. Say, I'm looking for dog barking. So, dog barking plus sound effect, or dog barking plus .wav. A lot of sound effects are in the WAV file format because they're so small and you want a high quality because sound effects. So, search for terms like that. You'll be surprised what you come up with. You can just as easily go down to any record store, CD store now, I guess. I just showed my age there. But go down to the music store. You can buy sound effect CDs. Usually they come in 2 or 4 CD sets for about $20. And you get a lot of freaking sound effects, because each sound effect is only, you know, maybe 10, 15 seconds, 20 seconds long. So they cram a buttload of sound effects onto one CD. So, you know, you may, oh, damn, I just paid $20 for, you know, 2 CDs worth of sound effects. That kind of sucks. But you just got a buttload of sound effects, which you now can use. Also, there's always the option, like I said before, of making your own. You know, keep in mind, like, all the sounds we hear in daily life could easily be, if you've got that external recording device, You can capture these sounds, edit them, change the effects with them in Audacity, create your own sound effects. Experiment. Have a good time. There's tons of options out there. The only thing really limiting you is maybe your processor and your imagination. So keep those things in mind. So now, your file should be pretty much complete.
Congratulations.
So now we need to take our amalgam of various sound clips and all that. We need to export it out into one glorious nugget of audio glory. Ready for consumption by all in the podcasting universe. So how do we go about doing this? Glad you asked. Simply go up to File, go down to Export as Wave, click, and begin the waiting process. Now, depending on your processor, your RAM, the specs of your system, this could be real time, meaning that if you've got 20 minutes of audio, this could take 20 minutes to export. It could be less. It could be a lot longer. Be prepared for this. Now, you also may notice when you go to export, well, it's got export as MP3 and export as Ogg Vorbis, and no, don't do that. I have yet to figure out this. There may be ways to change this, but currently, it exports MP3 and Ogg Vorbis at a very low, actually, I think the lowest bit rate possible, and very bad sound quality. It's not what you want to do. So you want to export it as a wave. It'll export it at a very nice high sound quality. So CD audio quality level. So it's kind of nice. I myself don't do it. I probably should, but a lot of people archive the high quality wave versions so that they have a quote-unquote master copy of high-fidelity audio version of the recording. And then once you have the wave exported, once it's the long wait has finished, you've got your wave file. Then we're going to use a second program from Audacity to actually convert the wave file into the MP3 and the Ogg Vorbis file, if you so choose. But the program I prefer to use is DB PowerAmp. As far as I know, it's free. It's available from their website, which is www.dbpowerAmp.com. So that's www.db, as in dog, boy, power, P-O-W-E-R, and A-M-P.com. dbpowerant.com. You can go down there, download the software, install it on your computer. It's real nice. Everything runs in the background. It gives you a lot more information about your ID3 tags anytime you hover your mouse over any sound audio file. It's a nice little program. But if you don't like a lot of clutter on your desktop, or not necessarily clutter on your desktop, but in your menus and stuff like that, DB PowerAmp does add options to your, it's a Windows program, let me add that, I'm a Windows guy, so it, when you do your right click to an audio file in order to convert the file, it's one thing I do like about it. Say for your WAV file, in order to convert it, all you need to do is right click, and you've got a convert option. Then you right click, convert, and it'll ask you, well, what do you want to convert it to? And you say, I want to convert it to an MP3. But you've got all these different bit rates and whatnot. And what's the best option here? This is all preference, okay? I'm going to highly state this. All preference. But bit rate all affects the file size. So ideally, you want to find the compromise, the perfect compromise between audio quality and file size. I myself am very fond of encoding my MP3 files at a bitrate of 56 kbps or 56 kilobits per second
in a mono channel at a frequency of 22,050 hertz. But remember, you know, if you're mixing around with the left channel, right channel, audio, you're mixing, you know, stuff from side to side, remember, you need to export your MP3 as a stereo. Otherwise, you lose all those effects you just worked for. So, with all that in mind, I think we've learned the basics of recording an audio show. So, until next time, this has been a Tango Whiskey Alpha Tango. We're just gonna cover. Shit.